Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hello, Sunshine. I'm Alexi Lawless, and welcome to the State of the Union podcast, where we look at the beautiful game on and off the field through the lens of red, white, and blue colored glasses. Special State of the Union here. Keep in mind that I'm on the road this week out there in Dallas for the CONCACAF Nations League semifinal with the U.S. playing against Jamaica. And keep in mind that we will have a Spaces over there on X following the game that you can check out live on X, or it'll show up in your feed. But I said, you know what? We can't keep people waiting until then. We got to have something in your feed. And so I said, you know what? Sometimes we talk about perspective, but let's get some different voices out there that have perspective on the game. And so turn to one of my good friends, Glenn Davis, to talk about his interesting path in the world of American soccer. And I think you're going to enjoy it because it gives a really good idea of how far we have come. Yeah, how far we still have to go when it comes to American soccer. But like I said, some real good perspective on the game. So I hope you enjoy that. All right, welcome, Glenn Davis. Let me give a little bio here for folks that are watching and listening here on the State of the Union. Boston College and then Davis and Elkins College. So he's got college soccer in his background. Pennsylvania Stoners in the American Soccer League. Houston Dynamos in the USL. That would be the United Soccer League. Columbus Capitals in the American Indoor Soccer League. Albany Capitals in the American Soccer League. And then a broadcaster. You know him. You love him. World Cups, Olympics, MLS, Champions League. A champion of soccer all over the world, and in particular in Houston. And you can catch him on his show, Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis in Houston, but you can also tune in from anywhere around the world. The great Glenn Davis. Welcome to the State
Alexi,
of the Union, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. You know what? This is a watershed moment for me. State of the Union, that's when you know you've made it.
You need to aim much higher, my friend. listen, so I wanted to have you on for this special State of the Union here because a lot of the things that we talk about here on the show are about what soccer is, what soccer isn't, on and off the field. And sometimes we, and when I say we, it's me and everybody that's watching and listening, sometimes we lack perspective. And I know our audience is all ages, and some have lived through the craziness, some haven't. The reason why I wanted to talk to you is you occupy this incredible moment in time, almost a purgatory. While I came along, and timing is everything in life, I came along in the MLS age, right? Before me, it was the NASL age. And then there is this strange period of time that you and your generation inhabit where it was just a Wild West, barren hellscape, if you will, when it comes to American soccer. But I think it's important in order to appreciate what we have now to get perspective from the past. So can you take us back to what it was like being an American? You grew up in New Jersey and then made your way across the country and played for a bunch of different teams. But an American who wanted to have soccer and professional soccer in his life, but the infrastructure didn't necessarily exist at the time. And it had come and gone with the NASL. And obviously it was before the MLS time.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I will say this, it was a fun time because, you know, look, there was a whole bunch of guys, great players at that point, that really loved playing the game and wanted to pursue it as much as they possibly could. The NASL had pretty much demised. There was the ASL. There was then the reformation of the ASL, which was the USL. I can't say I retired on my earnings from the Pennsylvania Stoners, which, by the way, is probably the greatest name in pro soccer.
Spectacular.
It's one of the best. And it's not what you people think out there. It's for the Keystone State of Pennsylvania. But look, I mean, when you had the passion for the game, I had an amazing youth coach. I grew up watching the Cosmos. You wanted to keep playing. And there was very limited opportunities at that time. And you know, you fought to play in these leagues. You got to play against some great players. I mean, I played with a great Englishman as a center back, Peter Carr, who helped develop my game. We played against Nenny Kubias, Jeff Bourne, Darby County. You know, there was a lot of guys just trying to hang on, even from the NASL at that time. You'd play in front of, you know, sometimes 900 people. Sometimes on a good day, you get 7,000, 8,000. We played in a league championship against the Jacksonville team, and there was 15,000. So it was a different time period. But what I remember was my teammates and all of us just fighting to want to play the game, fighting to want to advance it, and just passionately loving the game in our markets. And, you know, there really wasn't a big end game at the time. You're almost kind of living it day by day.
Now, you grew up in New Jersey. Someone asked me the other day about the demise of the NASL and, you know, how big it was, but also how it kind of ate itself with expansion and some mistakes along the way. When the NASL went away, did you and your generation look around and say, Jesus, this is it, this is done? And could you have envisioned where ultimately the sport went in that moment of confusion and, like I said, this purgatory type of existence then?
No, we were not that smart, number one. We weren't looking that far out. We were looking at the here and the now, and where can I keep playing? I'm done with my college career. Where can I keep playing? At that time, nobody's going over to Europe. You know, we're sitting here on a day where, you know, this past weekend, we had three Americans score very decisive goals in games, right? This was unheard of back then. There wasn't even anybody going over there to train, right? Maybe a little bit of that. There weren't many people playing overseas. We had a weekend where Pulisic scored. We had a weekend Haji Wright put a team in a FA Cup semifinal, Coventry City. So it was really very different than it was for the here and now. And, you know, it's wonderful to look forward now, though, because, you know, at that time, nobody even thought of a stadium built with soccer as a primary tenant, right? Nobody thought of the money that would be in the game. There were no grassroots soccer really going on then. It was only beginning. The model of the youth soccer club wasn't really around. And then you had the NASL, and you had this team owned by Warner Brothers, who had boatloads of money running around the country, you know, playing these games. And then you had teams in the NASL where it was sort of a mom and pop operation, like the Rochester Lancers, right? So there was all these really interesting things that were going on. But I like the way you worded it. It might have been a purgatory. On the other hand, it might have been a nirvana for a lot of us.
Well, so when, you know, when we talk about soccer, oftentimes, you know, I talk about how we kick ourselves for what we aren't. And part of me likes that because it forces us forward and it forces us to expect and to build better with what we are. But also at times, I think it's important to have perspective, like I said, and pat ourselves on the back a little bit for how far we've come. So when you think about the game and how far it has come both on and off the field, what are some specific examples as to how things have changed? You mentioned, you know, this weekend players scoring, but, you know, a young boy or girl growing up in Houston or in New Jersey or anywhere in the United States right now, in terms of those opportunities and pathways, this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway to get your answer. Are we in a much better place than we have ever been in the history of the United States as it relates to American soccer?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, look, perspective, you know, you've said that I'm here to provide some perspective. Well, that's because I'm older, right? I mean, we all have our benchmarks, right? The older you get, the more benchmarks you have, and you can look back. So there's a part of me and this type of a generation that are saying, wow, you know, the old days, this was better, this was better, this was better. On the other hand, evolution occurs. You have to go with the evolution of it. You know, the grassroots game is alive and healthy. It has its problem. It's maybe a little too money motivated. It's maybe a little too entitled. But these are things you can't necessarily stop. Major League Soccer now has fan bases all across America. The USL is doing a great job of growing their sport, in all these different markets. So, you know, it really is a matter of perspective. So here's a good example. So I play in the ASL, the USL. You know, there were days where you'd have your check at your locker and you wouldn't even shower. You would grab the check you would run to your car to go to the bank because you knew damn well that they may not have enough money to clear the check. So if you got there 15 out of 18 guys, you may not get paid. So, you know, these were things that you go, wow, that's terrible. And then on the other hand, I look back and I go, you know, these are the things that shape and mold you and make it fun. And teams flying on the same plane to play their next game and guys getting into it on the plane. I mean, it just really, really interesting things. And a lot of very good players that probably look now and go, wow, I wish, you know, I had beautiful locker rooms and the jerseys and the gear. I mean, you soccer players get more gear than we ever got playing professional soccer in that purgatory, which you mentioned, Alexi. But no, the infrastructure, the coverage of the game, although I would say we don't have enough healthy pressure in the coverage, we do have volume of it. We have people doing podcasts around clubs in every market. So I think it's all positive. I always see it in a positive light more than I will in a negative. Do I think the game is getting slightly over-commercialized? Yeah, probably. Do I long sometimes to see a Copa America back in South America where the stadium's fully concrete up in the mountains? Yeah, but, you know, nobody can complain here. We can certainly always try to make it better.
We talk a lot about developments and the next generation and producing elite and world-class types of players. So while we just talked about having a sense of perspective and, you know, recognizing how far we've come, let's do some constructive analysis and I guess constructive criticism when it comes to what America is. You mentioned a couple of things there, whether it was the commercialization or pay to play out there. What are some other things out there when it comes to the American soccer ecosystem that you look at and say, you know what, we can do better there, or we need to do better there, or that drives me crazy there?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I guess if we start with youth soccer and player development, and then, the flip side is we're putting more players in Europe than ever. So this comes with a little bit of an asterisk, but, you know, I do see a lot of contemporaries out there that are doing things the right way. I do see a lot of contemporaries out there. They're motivated by numbers and money. We all know this. We've talked about it. I wish there was a better balance of that. I don't think there's any question. I have concerns about MLS and the American player right now and the opportunity that they're getting. I'm seeing a lot of games where I don't see enough Americans on the field, certainly not in positions of influence on some of these teams. And I would say that, I do think we need some stronger leadership at the top. I really do. Especially in U.S. soccer. I would like to see more people protective of the women's game in America in a lot of ways, women's sports in general. I'd like to see that protected because I've watched so many male and female coaches, players, athletes. You know, I lived through the evolution of women's soccer by calling it on TV and working with female youth soccer players when I had a soccer club called the Hurricanes. And I just wish a few more people would defend the women's game and women's sports because it's come such a long way.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You think and talk about the game around the world, but obviously you're incredibly dialed in with Houston right now. And Houston's gone through an interesting transition when it comes to the soccer in that community and certainly when it comes to MLS there. Good days right now. I know they just came out of CONCACAF Champions Cup, but still with this Houston team right now from an MLS perspective and then broaden it out to soccer in Houston, where do you think this city and this community is? And specifically when it comes to MLS, how good do you think that this Houston Dynamo team is or can be? Because there's a point not too long ago where not only were they not good, but they were kind of out of sight, out of mind, and they were kind of irrelevant in terms of the talking of MLS. And that certainly has changed, and Ben Olsen has come in, and they seem to be heading in a much more positive direction right now. Can you feel it in that community?
So the words wouldn't be kind of, they were irrelevant. Okay. And that's because without throwing people under the bus, the wrong type of leadership, this club, ever since Oliver Luck left, when it was once relocated here from San Jose, it lost the Houston connection, and people have come and gone that have absolutely no Houston connection. And that's still a problem. Don't know the market, don't know soccer. We have too many of these type of people making key decisions in soccer. The Dynamo, I thought last year, put together a wonderful season, a wonderful team. All credit to Pat Onstad, Ben Olsen, their staff for putting a competitive product on the field. But there is a separation between competitive and front office and marketing, promotion, and all the other elements that comes with running a professional soccer team, as you so well know, having been in the executive side of it. So, Hector Herrera had an amazing season last year. It was a joy to watch it. But, you know, we still didn't draw the numbers that I think are needed. I think we should be selling every game out here in Houston, Texas. There's 7 to 8 million people here proper. They're from all over the world, every nook and cranny. They love the game. They're authentic. And I think the reach has to be to the authentic soccer fan. That's the big thing. So the MLS product still has tons of room that it has to improve. Again, we don't get the healthy pressure from the media. So when you don't get healthy pressure from mainstream media, it allows people to labor and tread water in certain places without any real pressure. We don't see that. That's such a good thing to me. I mean, I need it. I need people criticizing me. So do you when you do all your stuff and you get a healthy dose of criticism, I would say. But that's good because it makes us think. It makes us look at what we're doing. And believe me, I've had people say something about my commentary and I'm kind of like, you know, in the early days, you're like, that guy should be quiet. Then you go, no, that person's got a point. And you can use it to maybe correct and improve some things. But, I just think this is an amazing soccer market. It hasn't been fully realized. It's unrealized potential at the MLS level in the NWSL. The attendance is not good enough. I hope they can work on it. But I just see not enough Houston people involved. There's plenty of people here that can help this organization and not a fine line identity as to what it wants to be here, because authenticity is the way to go with the World Cup 2026 years away. And by the way, the international content through Houston is through the roof, right? It's through the roof. Why do you think Inter Miami and Tigres is going to play here? It's partially because of Messi, but it's because this is Tigres country. There's people here who drive over the border to go to Tigres and Rayados games every weekend. So a lot of healthy things going on. Massive amount of people love the game from the MLS product and the NWSL product. That you got to corral all that energy.
All right. So because I have a background in front offices, this is what I'm thinking about. The men and women that are in Houston Dynamo or work in soccer there might listen to that and they say, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He doesn't, you know, walk a mile in our shoes. It's easy to throw stones from where he is and all that kind of stuff. And the blocking and tackling that we do each and every day, they don't understand what it takes and they don't understand some of the realities and the challenges out there. How does some of the stuff, and this is important, not just for Houston, but I think that this is important for all different markets out there, because we in the media and fans, we love to tell people how to do their job, how to spend their money out there. How do some of the mistakes or some of the missteps that either have happened in the past or you see happening right now, how do they manifest in that market? Give me some specific examples as to why something has been done or hasn't been done that you think has contributed to part of the problem and challenge. And I want to make sure everybody understands, you've also said incredibly positive things and there's wonderful things going on and it's heading into the right direction, but everybody wants to work for something better, because I want it. This is going to be specific to Houston, but I think we can broaden it out to other markets in saying, hey, there are specific things that are done out there that don't always apply. And it's not always apples to oranges in different cities, but there's some things out there that specifically talking about them, because we talk in generalizations so much, I think is much more beneficial. So give me something specific in Houston that you've seen done or haven't seen done that you think that would be beneficial to the game, whether it's MLS or anything else when it comes to soccer there.
Yeah, let me just first say respectfully, I make those comments. I'm not trying to character assassinate. I care about the soccer community. I've been here a long time. I do think it's important to have a voice. I would like to see more voices that are semi-critical. So I've already given you one, that there needs to be a healthy pressure from the media. Mm-hmm. We don't have that here in Texas. There's so many stories that can be told, whether it's lack of development of players in the academy over all these years, whether it's lack of marketing, whether it's a relationship with the youth soccer community, which is not good and is still trying to be sutured and nurtured. So there's an awful lot out there. And I think part of it is because there is a, and I have to use the right words here because I don't want to look like, you know, the guy that's just upset throwing stones, but I do know the potential of this market and I do know it can be realized in a bigger way. And again, I think a lot of the time it comes down to some of the hires in key positions that are decision makers. And then I think there has been a lack of confidence in the organization for many years. And I think that's changing with the current organization when it comes to utilizing not only Houstonians, and I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about a lot of people that know this market top to bottom, know the history of it, know the tendencies and trends of all the different communities here. By the way, you know, Latin people aren't all turned on by the same thing. We all know that a Mexican is different maybe from an Argentine who's different than from an Ecuadorian. I mean, there's all these different groups in Houston that can be appealed to. And I would say one of the other big things is, Alexi, you can't sit on social media and live in a bubble and send tweets out and think that people are going to come to your games. You have to create a real connection. I love these words that are tossed around, community and diversity and all these things. But a lot of times it's just to plant the stick in the ground and the flag, mm-hmm. and there's no follow through on it. Okay. And we see that in a lot of markets, not all, but we see that. And that bothers me here because I feel like I have, like so many other, a vested interest in our soccer community. We love our soccer community here. There are people doing amazing things. A lot of grassroots things that never gets any notoriety. Again, I think it really, for me, comes down to more of a connection to Houston, more of a connection to community, not just saying it, not just putting it out there, but actually doing things about it. So that comes through marketing and promotion. I do believe that the players on both the Dynamo and the Houston Dash have to be brought to the community. You got to take it to the community. You can't sit here and wait for people to come to you. You have to take it to the community. And then that means you got to hire people that can go into the community and help you execute that. Simple things like, I think the Houston Dash in preseason, load the team on a bus, put a rope around a field in a very hot soccer area, invite all the soccer clubs out, give away some tickets, let every one of these kids that are on the team go and touch, shake hands of young youth players. And then the general manager walks around the field, introduces themselves to every parent and says, we would really like to earn your respect to come down to the games. And that's the thing with the Dynamo. It's not about hoping and wishing they're going to come to you. It's about going out and earning that. And the soccer community deserves that level of respect.
Look, at the risk of being accused as grumpy old men, I guess, screaming and yelling.
Oh, I already have, so that's over. It doesn't matter.
No, but we aren't. But it's interesting to hear you talk about that, because a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is tried and tested and true and you know, goes through eras and times. And look, the social media aspect of it is a wonderful tool and is a wonderful weapon to use in a positive way out there. But the tried and tested method of human connection and interaction and being involved in the community and being visible in the community, that's been talked about for years before MLS came along, and it will continue to be talked about as long as we're still dealing with human beings. And from what I gather, we are still dealing with human beings. Last couple of questions before I let you go, and let's again broaden it out to big picture type of stuff. This national team is heading into a summer right now, and I know you follow it closely. How bullish are you on this national team, whether it's relative to the Copa America this summer? I'm talking about the men's national team right now. Or as we obviously lead into what's going to hopefully be an incredibly seminal and important and impactful moment, which is the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, I can't wait for you know, Nations League. I can't wait for Copa America. Now, it's a stunning and interesting situation with Greg Berhalter, everything that happened at the World Cup and all the dynamics behind that. But, you know, I always quickly went to the silver lining of not qualifying for that World Cup the last time around when we had that debacle in Trinidad and Tobago. And I said to myself, this has got to be good. We can accelerate all these young guys now that are playing on bigger clubs. And I'm excited about these guys making it their own team, much like you and your teammates when you guys achieved. I think the same thing is going on with these young guys. And I love seeing the maturity of players like Christian Pulisic and some of these guys really, you know, serious about leading the U.S. national team with pride, with glory. You know, for instance, like I had just said, you know, we have three American goal scorers this past weekend. This is really kind of unheard of in our times, right? When people were going over there and just trying to be a part of clubs. I mean, it really is remarkable if you look back with the longer lens to what's going on with the American player. Now it's up to Greg Berhalter to put it all together. I'm hoping he is. I'm hoping that players like Tyler Adams get healthy and the midfield and others emerge. But it's their team. They've got to take control of it. They got to come together as players and say, you know, we're going to make our mark. This is our time. And if there was ever a time to make a long run and go deep in a World Cup, it's going to be here in the United States. These guys still can mature over the next couple of years. So I'm very, very positive about the U.S. national team. I really like the personalities of a lot of these young guys and the mark that they're making in the game now in a very different time period than even to yours.
Love it. You've carved out a wonderful world and life and career when it comes to broadcasting. You've done so many things. We've heard your voice on so many different platforms out there. When you look at the world of broadcasting in the United States, and again, on the field, everything has changed, and off the field, everything has changed when it comes to broadcasting. What are some of the things that you look back on and say, hey, that was a pretty cool thing to do? And as you look forward as to what broadcasting is becoming right now, what are some of the things that tickle your fancy, shall we say?
Well, first of all, I wasn't trained to do any of this. I think the real point to make here is that, you know, when I got playing professional soccer at whatever the level was when I was there, you know, if you wanted to stay involved in your passion, you had to be a coach. You know, you either had to go coach a high school team, you had to coach a college team. Coaching was the only route. Now it's so wonderful to see ex-players getting in these jobs, whether it's commentary, front office, you name it. There's so many jobs available now to remain in the game. That you love. I've had amazing experiences of travel, just like you have, through commentary and television and radio. And, you know, whether it's doing World Cup qualifiers in Central American countries with, you know, bodyguards to, you know, to watching Ronaldo and calling Ronaldo or Messi in Barcelona and Ronaldinho, it's all the same. I think currently now with the way our soccer is on TV, it's a lot of offloading of expenses. I don't think there's any question. If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. It definitely is a different television and broadcasting world. For me at my age, I don't think there's any question in others. But I do think right now, you know, there's such an attention put to cost that sometimes from the standpoint of production and production quality, you may lose something. But I think that's just a sign of the times and where everybody is right now.
Last question before I let you go. I've asked this to a lot of people, and I enjoy the answers that I get. The best and the worst thing about American soccer could be on the field, could be off the field, big picture, small picture. What do you got?
The best thing is the amount of people it affects around the country, despite the fact that we have so many traditional sports in this country, right? Whenever somebody that's from a foreign country says, oh, wow, you know, your soccer isn't great or something like that, it's like, yeah, you guys really don't have the same type of competition, and the sport is growing in a big and purposeful way and with a lot of great input from a lot of great people. The worst thing about American soccer? That's a good one. I think from a professional standpoint, I wish there was a little bit more creativity. I wish it wasn't as centralized and there was a little bit more personality allowed for each respective team in their respective market, because I think that could lead to some really, really interesting things that may happen in the future, may not. If it's the youth soccer community, there's so much money being exchanged there. I wish there was a way we could balance that. And I'm not against people making money, by the way.
Well, we'll end it on that. I'm not opposed to that either. I don't think any of us. More money for everybody, including the great Glenn Davis. Thank you so much, Glenn, for coming on the State of the Union. Again, you can find Glenn at Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis over there and everything Houston, but it's obviously national and international. You can check that out too. So thank you so much, my friend. We will talk again later.
Alexi, thank you very much. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I say this all not to offend anyone. It's just my opinion, and take it for what it's worth.
Hey, listen, I don't think I've done a good show unless I've offended somebody along the way. So don't you worry about it. It's fine. I'll get blamed anyway. All right, see ya.
Yeah, blame Alexi for bringing me on. There you go.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, thanks to Glenn Davis. I hope you enjoyed that. Really interesting stuff from him. And like I said, a little perspective on the history of American soccer that we talk so much about. Reminder. On Friday, okay, the U.S. versus Jamaica game is on Thursday, but on Friday, I'll be coming back here to Los Angeles, and we will have a live Spaces over there on the X machine. So if you want to join us, please join us Friday morning live on X to talk about the U.S. Jamaica game and the result there, and anything else that you want to talk about. And even if you don't join us live, it will show up in your feed, so don't worry about that. So you will have plenty of State of the Union this week showing up in your feed. Again, thanks to Glenn Davis. We will talk again next time. And until then, and as always, my friends, size the day.